Alarm's going off.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. If you've just joined us on Blog Talk Radio, the Forbidden America show is live, and you're not lucky like the people over at the Facebook pre-show lounge that have been jibber-jabbering back and forth and listening to me drone on about how, you know, how many problems we have in the world. Yeah, you know, it's not all gloom and doom, folks, but we have problems. For those who were here in the pre-show, bear with me, because you've heard this, but the people that just joined in here in the Blog Talk Radio, they haven't heard it yet. And I'll read it again, because it's only like five lines. The title of the show tonight is Holy Jumped Up Jeebus. Look at the mess we made. It was going to be a lot more explicit than that, but I thought they'd edit me, so I didn't do it. The United States is a country oriented to wars, and in the entirety of our existence, 26 years of our time since 1776 have been conflict-free. Just 26 years. We're, by a very wide margin, we're the largest arms dealer on the planet. Our direct actions and the actions of our contractors and our proxies have laid waste to vast swaths of geography and rendered those parts of the globe where we were operating militarily untenable to the people who lived there. This has created an immense refugee crisis. Despite the fact that we are the largest contributor to the problem, we are not accepting responsibility for the welfare of the refugees that we created, at least not in large part. Not like other countries have. And so that's what we're talking about this time, is our American foreign policy. Our American foreign policy is by and large petroleum-based. Our whole foreign policy is about war, warfare, the ability to wage it, how our economy interacts with the economies of others based on our military standing. And petroleum, because it takes an awful lot of fossil fuels to fight a conventional war. You know, tanks need oil, lubricants, all the equipment needs lubricants, you know, motor oil, all just a shitload of oil. And the machines that, you know, that operate, you know, heat for buildings and, you know, that just everything is just oil. And it, or at least it has been. Since the early 20th century, we've been really pounding the oil thing. And I don't know if you remember your history, but I know the camera's shaking, but, you know, fucking bear with me. You're not paying for this. And in our entire history, you know, we went from things like whale oil for lamps and so forth and burning coal in coal stoves for heat and so on and for trains and whatever else. To all of a sudden, you may remember all those films and movies and so forth about the wildcatters and the, you know, the oil derricks and all the oil drilling and how that was like a big thing. And then Rockefeller, you know, giving out dimes to the little kids like, you can take this dime and someday you may be rich and powerful too. Fuck you. Standard Oil, right? Standard Oil was the shit. You know, he was King Biscuit Flower Hour or whatever. You know, he was the dude because oil was king. We've never relinquished that concept, that psychology. You know, I'm always reminded the Tolkien movies, you know, the Tolkien books that became movies where, you know, the orcs were always about burning the trees and, you know, cranking up fossil fuels and so forth. Because they were evil and they were archaic. And then you had, you know, the hobbits and all the other people who didn't have to do that. They had, you know, they had hydropower from their, you know, what do they call those mills? You know, the water flows down the river and it turns the wheel, the water wheels, which is what basically hydroelectric dams do today. Same thing, just, you know, doesn't look like that anymore. And so it's light versus dark, basically, is the picture. Well, more and more countries, you know, Germany and Japan and China. Don't fuck with China. That's a whole another show. And so forth. Lots of countries are just switching over to renewable energy, which is wind and solar and geothermal, all of which produce pretty good amounts of electricity, and you don't run out of it. You don't run out of it. Okay? And we stubbornly won't join in any treaties, won't admit that there's global warming, won't relinquish anything to do with fossil fuels, because the people who are running our show are heavily invested in fossil fuels. And so they're not going to stop making money. They're too stupid and greedy. It usually goes hand in hand to know that all they got to do is shift gears and say, oh, maybe if we heavily invested in renewable energies, we'd still make money. Morons. You know, it's like, it's not either or. If you can afford to invest in that kind of an investiture of, you know, of fossil fuel, then why couldn't you invest in windmills and all that crap? So when we start, oh my God, you guys are really banging me with the likes here. I love it. When the country knows that it's doing wrong, not you guys, you're the country, but not the country like the rest of the world has to deal with us. The most they have to deal with when they deal with you and I is, you know, we're these English-speaking ignoramuses that just talk louder when we go to countries where we don't speak the lingo, and they point and laugh. That's harmless. Because we don't learn other languages in this country. We only learn English. And you will too. Yeah? Oh, yeah, you will. But in other countries, they're learning 3 and 4 languages from the time they're 2 years old. Because they know they should. The psychology is completely different. And that's what carries over into the foreign policy here. So here it's like we're exceptional. Exceptionalism, you've heard that pushed around. The Americans are exceptional. We're like, everybody wants to be like us. Like John Wayne. Well, all right. So we consume almost 28% of the energy in the world. Almost 30%. That's 28 is almost 30%. Right? So that we can live the way we do. And even poorer people are indoors, if they're indoors. They're not homeless. They have heat. They probably have cable. You know, we live like kings compared to them. And we have this idea in our head that they want to be like us. Of course, who wouldn't? And the thing is, they don't. You know, I got friends in Western Africa who don't live like us at all. It's dirt floors. You know, it's thatched roofs. And they're very much more in touch with the earth because they're living off of it. Their diet is much more meager. It's not industrialized. They're healthier. They have an iPhone. They have Wi-Fi. And they're in a mud hut. And they're happy as fuck because they're not like us. We can't get happy. We have industries, cottage industries of people who are trying to teach us how to be happy because we're not. You want to know why we're not happy? We're not fucking happy because of how we live and how we are in this world. It's like we're aliens. It's like we're friggin' aliens, like we don't belong here. And we don't. Before you get the wrong idea, you know, oh, he hates America and he hates the military. I don't. I love our military. I love our country. You know, I've done things for this country that nobody knows about, and I'm fine with that. But I'll tell you, you know, oh, why do you hate our foreign policy? Look, the American military is the big ugly dog in the cage, right? Don't open the cage unless you want the dog to do what it does. And we do that a lot. We open that cage a lot. And that's fine, but that's what they do. So you can't blame the military for being the military. Let them do what they do. I mean, do you want to fuck with the U.S. Marines? I don't. You know, if there's a place that needs dealing with, and you send the 82nd Airborne or you send the U.S. Marine Corps, good luck. You know, that is a can of whoop-ass. And I don't say that like, let's go get them. I'm saying that like, that's just a fact. Okay. But at the same time, there's other ways. And the military, above all, are the people that are like, yes, let's try other ways. Because when you ask us to do shit, we lose our brothers and sisters. We'd rather not do that. I'd rather not that they do that. I don't want to see any more caskets and body bags. I don't. You don't. They sure as hell don't. The fact that they're willing to put themselves in harm's way earns them my respect, and I'm sure it earns them your respect as well. But let's listen to them when they tell us, let's just try a better way. So our State Department is pared to the bone currently because one man thinks he can do it all, literally thinks that. We've never been closer to all-out disaster on a scale that's I don't think it's ever been seen before. Ever there was a time that we were more precariously positioned in terms of vulnerability, I don't know about it. I don't know about it. Because right now we're in, you know, we're the third street down in Foxville. And most people don't really grasp that. They know that we have, you know, a fucking ignoramus for an emperor, an absolute child, petulant child, ignoramus for an emperor. And when that is the case, it's really dangerous. This isn't playtime. This isn't make believe. You know, there's 330 some odd million of us. Cut it out. Cut the shit. This isn't playtime. These are real consequences. And let me see my clock. No, 17 minutes. I mean, ooh, Mandy Moore's. Mindy. I'm so sorry. Mindy. And yes, I agree. It's okay. It's just water. No, really, it's just water. So they're finally coming to a place where commanders, you know, high enough up, like Mattis, for instance, they're admitting that their role is not watchdog, is not, we're going to preserve the freedoms of people around the world. We've given that fucking lie up. Thank you, God. And I don't, you know, I'm not a God person. What's their role? Well, you know, their real role is to secure resources for us to fatten, you know, our country works for people at a higher level, like the IMF and the World Bank and organizations that are higher than governments. We work for them. And our military does what they want it to do, and they tell us what to tell it to do, and then it goes and does it to get everybody in line. All these bad people, North Korea, for instance, you know, Syria, and all the six or seven countries before them, kaplang, that we've knocked down and taken over and you know, turned into a third world country again, like Libya, right? What was their crime? Was it that they were bad to their people? We don't really care. Countries don't care about another country being bad to its people. It's only when they're bad to their people that they care. No, their crimes were that they had their own economies, their own gold, their own ability to stand autonomously from the World Bank, which is like the Iron Bank in Game of Thrones. That's why Game of Thrones is written the way it is, because it's a reflection of us. And any country that can stand on its own economy and not care about the World Bank, they're not having that shit. So one by one, we go through all these, and it's usually us, if you'll notice, creating the refugee crisis, because that's what we do. And we get them one by one. We knock them down until they knuckle under and join the World Bank. That's what happened to Greece. Look at Greece. Ostensibly, they said to Greece, oh, you've got so much Russian mob money being laundered in Greece that we're going to just take your banks out from under you to kill the Russian mob's financing. Except they didn't do anything after that. If that, in fact, was the purpose of it, they didn't do anything after that to restore Greece's economy. So that story doesn't hold water. You know why they did it? Because Greece was getting ready to get up onto its own economy. Because then none of these people want to do business with this World Bank, because fuck these guys, right? So any country that won't do business will, even if they have to fucking lay them flat with like nothing left, which is what we've done to very large sections of Syria. It's what we've done to sections of Iraq. It's what we've done to sections of, we'll just go down the list. All right, Libya, let's keep going down the list. So you either get in line or you will get in line. And that's the role of our military. And that's why they're doing all of these things. Not because we need to, oh, they've got uranium here and they've got oil there and they've got water there. All of that is true. But that's like saying to your mercenaries, right? This is what we want you to do. Anything else you happen to get, yeah, just keep it as added onto your fee. That's what they're doing. Oh, well, there's water there or there's oil there. Yeah, well, we'll just keep it. But in the meantime, we've achieved their objective to control the finances of all these countries. That's what's going on. That's our foreign policy. That's the petroleum economy. That's why we won't relinquish petroleum. Because we do the bidding of our masters. I mean, you know, some of you are like, oh my God, that can't really be true. 12 more minutes. But it is true, because a lot of you already know this. You know, the people that listen to this kind of a show aren't morons. They have a clue and they want to hear information they either don't know, or it makes you feel, and I just don't want to put words in your mouth, feel free to jump in the chat and let me know if I'm off base. You want to come to a show where you feel like, oh my God, this fucking guy gets me, or he's in my head or something. He gets it. And I can't wait to see what he does next week and what little piece of information or what document he's got a hold of, you know, that's going to show us what we already knew, but now we can confirm it, that kind of thing. Well, Forbidden America does that because it's Forbidden America. So let's talk about it, right? So if you guys are wondering what our foreign policy is to do the bidding of the World Bank. And if they won't knuckle under, keep it up. Step up the bombing campaign. Step up the hiring of insurgents. Step up the hiring of terrorist organizations that are basically just mercenaries. And we call them terrorists. You know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, blah, blah, blah. And that's true. These are people who, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but in some of the photographs of these ISIS fighters, they all had the same Reeboks, right? And the same khakis, right? And they all had masks on so you can't see who they are. Come on. Those are all assets. Those are people that were hired. These aren't freedom fighters like, you know, we will kill the infidel. There are people over there like that. Oh, you better believe it. But some of these people that were getting all the press on, you know, we've been shown video and photographs of these highly publicized beheadings. Not all of them. Some of them are legit, but some of them, you know, and then you get it photograph taken in a studio from over there that it was all done in front of a green screen and it's really not real. So what gives? You know, like 9/11, the foreign policy plays into 9/11. 9/11, for lack of a better way of putting it, was a heist. It was a heist. The most elaborate theft ever perpetrated. It was for greed. Why did it happen? It wasn't people from Saudi Arabia flying those planes. It wasn't. Oh, yeah, it was. You came, oh, that's just tinfoil hat. Where, look, you know, the day that this all happened and they had, in like the next day, or by some accounts, the same day, which is incredible, you had these 19 guys. They plastered all their pictures up, you know, on the wall. These are the men from Saudi Arabia that flew these airplanes. Well, yeah, except that like seven of them immediately went to their consulates in their home countries. Hey, that's me. I'm not in America. I'm not on one of those planes. And they contacted the American State Department. He's right here. Put him on a Skype call. Here's his ID. This is the dude. Give you DNA if you want it. So how does that theory hold up now? There's too many holes in the story. If you're an investigator and you do the crime scene and you do the evidence of the 9/11 thing, holy shit, there's like so many holes in that story, which begs a question. How many people are involved in the cover-up then? And how credible does that become? You know, how can so many people that would have to be involved keep their mouths shut if it was a lie? There's ways to answer that question, but it requires, you know, it requires exhibition of documents and video and so forth to show you why it doesn't hold up. And like, you know, the flight that supposedly hit Shanksville, right, in Pennsylvania, was on the news having landed in Cleveland that day. There it is. Landed at the airport. Didn't go to the tarmac, didn't go to the terminal, rolled past the terminal and went down to the other part of the airport and parked at the NASA building, which was federally controlled, for a disembark. Don't know where those people went, if there were people on the plane at all. The planes that hit the buildings on 9/11, and I know I'm digressing, but just give me a minute. The planes that hit the buildings on 9/11 had limited windows, if any, and they had telemetry pods on their bellies, big, long, torpedo-looking things on the bellies of the airplanes that the military, you know, does use. The Air Force has those, and they're used for a number of things. Side-looking radar is one thing they use them for, but they also use them for telemetry is wireless control, right? And with those telemetry pods on the bellies of those airplanes, you could fly them remotely. It's been done. That's one of the reasons they were invented. It's one of the reasons they were invented. They both had one. And as each plane hits the building, especially the second one, they have video of this plane coming into this glass building, right? You know that. Right before it hits, you can see this flash of light between the plane and the wall, which is made of glass, because the light is the laser that's guiding the plane. Give me a break, okay? The Pratt & Whitney engine that they recovered from the Pentagon is from a cruise missile. Anybody that knows anything about these types of, you know, air vehicles knows that that's not an airplane. There was no wreckage of an airplane on site. None. There was no wreckage of an airplane in Shanksville. None. They didn't find any bodies. That's the official story of Shanksville. Never found any bodies. You mean you just gave up? You didn't dig the biggest fucking hole in the history of holes so you could find them? And tell the families that, you know, you recovered their remains. I mean, they need to know. Oh, no, there were no bodies. Well, then where the fuck did they go? They went to Cleveland. I mean, this is the type of people that you're dealing with. These are the type of people that lay waste to whole countries. Whole countries. So that the big bankers get their way. This is about money. This is about greed. You know, this is about... It's all money. It's all money. It's always all money. It's never anything but money. You know, I have this saying I used to use when I used to be on the air back in the day. Follow the money, because it always fits, man. Follow the money is like a good rule to have, because it always comes down to the money. So our foreign policy creates untold amounts of misery on people that don't deserve it. Do we have bad people that want to get us that we need to be aware of and maybe even take out? Yeah, sure. Partly because they're just bad, or partly because they're so pissed off at us that now we've kicked the hornet's nest and now we have to deal with them. Well done. Create enemies so that you have to deal with them. We've never been safer than we are right now. Not because of the TSA, not because of Homeland Security, but because of the world. The world has never been safer than it is right now. Those are the global statistics that we have. It's the safest time to be alive in the history of Western civilization. And that's, I'm not saying that as a generalization. I'm being literal with you. Safest time to be alive freaking ever. If you watch television enough, they call it programming for a reason. They want you to think, oh my God, we can't let our kids go out and play. Are you fucking kidding me? We can't go to the park. We could die. We forgot how to be people. In Europe, they didn't forget. You know, in the UK, largely, they haven't forgotten. People go and they talk to each other. They let their kids play with other kids that they don't know of different colors. Holy shit, not brown kids. Tell me it's not brown kids. Man, oh man, I'm telling you. You know, my daughter has a friend who's at school in high school. There's a teacher there, and this her friend is not white. She's Puerto Rican and Portuguese, right? Both look so she's really brown. Beautiful girl, nice kid. And one of her teachers was like, "So, does your mom speak English?" Yeah, she speaks English, douche. Like, are you kidding me? And, you know, like, well, why don't you know how to speak Spanish then? Because I live in the White Mountains in New Hampshire, and I don't know. I just guess I just don't. I mean, give me a break. I got 90 seconds on the rest of this broadcast here for Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to be winding it up. But if there's anything you guys would rather see next week, be sure and let me know in either the comments or just send me a, you know, a message in the face plant, and that'll work. Oh my God, 60 seconds. What are we ever going to do? So I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's just me rambling so far, but I might get more, you know, what's that word? Get my shit together, I guess is the word. Maybe. Or I might just keep rambling. But I hope you'll continue to visit. And if you can't make it to the live thing like this, it replays. Play it whenever you want. I'm glad you came. It means a lot to me that you came. So, you know, please keep doing it. And I'll do it next time. I might do it sooner than you think. I don't know yet. Depends on how long the pain meds hold out. So it's just water. So I'll talk to you later next time. Thanks for tuning in to Forbidden America. You've been a good crowd. See you next time. Bye.